2 Chronicles chapter 23, look at verse 16. 2 Chronicles 23, look at verse 16. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. That's where I was cut off yesterday, so that's why I repeated it. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, look at verse 17. 2 Chronicles 24, look at verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Notice, man's. It seems like when that foothold, that system, this mother gets in you good, it takes a lot to root it out. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, look at verse 14. 2 Chronicles 25, look at verse 14. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Look at that. The gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people. Well, he's got that right. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, look at verse 1. 2 Chronicles 28, 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. There you go. It's continual. It's under every green tree. What tree is green year-round? The evergreen. Hey, evergreen. Okay, verse 22 of the same chapter. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. Oh. And I mean, this stuff means what it says. The Bible is not hard to understand. There's no big, deep, dark meaning. Okay? It means what it says. Look at the words and believe them. Verse 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. Altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. That's the goal of the mother. Wipe out truth being taught anywhere and simply put falsehood and lies everywhere. Everywhere. Okay? All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Look at verse 1. Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and break the images in pieces, and cut down the groves, and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, and Ephraim also, and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We're coming to the close of the history of Israel under the kings of Israel. Okay, when they had all these kings up and down. He had some good ones. David, Solomon. Solomon clanked out at the end of his life, but he had some good ones. But here, 2 Chronicles chapter 33 now. 2 Chronicles 33, look at verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And Hezekiah was good. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Notice there's altars. There's all this fake, phony, religious junk going on. Whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You know, mark it down. These people who did all this, it may have seemed good at the time, but when you've read all of these people worshiping gods, if they did not repent and change, which means change your mind, before they died and returned to the Lord God of Israel, they died and went to hell fire. Okay? They're down there underneath your feet in the heart of the earth burning. That's how the mother deceives you. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Oh, sounds like people I deal with today. Not you all, but so many. All right, understand. It's repeated. You notice in Chronicles is repeating what we read in Kings. It's the official records. And if God repeats it, we're going to value it the same as God does, and we're going to repeat it. It's sad. It's really sad. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. This is horrible. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was 8 years old. No, this is good. What am I talking about? This is the good chapter. I thought I'm at the end. Okay, listen. Now, 2 Chronicles 34. Remember Josiah, the great king who had great revival? Watch it. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Notice what happened when we read about this in King. Remember, he found the book of the law of the Lord and he read it? In the official records, which is Chronicles, notice God leaves that out. He leaves it out. He's just going to show you what he did in the official records, which is good for Josiah, by the way. For in the eighth year, because why is it good? Well, were you reading the Bible your whole life, Josiah? Well, God puts in the official records here in Chronicles the results. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and Messiah the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Joash the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Notice in these chronicles right here, you see, he hasn't even read the book of the law of the Lord yet. He did all these things first. Now, verse 8. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came, now watch this, And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. There you go. Was so much for, well, we don't want to use musical instruments. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, isn't this interesting that it records here where they found God's word? So prior to that, when you saw it in Kings, it seems like Josiah found the book and then did all those things. That's true. But he was already cleaning houses. Thank you, honey. He was already cleaning house before any of that happened. Okay, hot tea for the throat. Yeah, it is hot. I didn't have anything to eat tonight. Just something to drink. Now, verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, into the hand of the workmen. Now watch this. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam. You see, the reason why it's recorded officially this way, that Josiah was doing so good even before he found the book of the law, was because he had a good heart. Notice, you got a good heart, God's going to get his word to you, and it's going to be even better when he's done with you. Verse 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Oh, do you think so? No kidding. No kidding. I mean, when you go against what the Bible says, you can forget it. You can forget it. And Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people. great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now, now notice then, of course, you go to chapter 35 and talks about the Passover and all that he kept, and how Josiah kept the Passover. Now, understand something here. Notice verse 33 carefully. Remember when we read this in 2 Kings? 2 Kings records it differently. It records it as him finding, he becomes king, he finds the book because he sent them to it. Then he cleans house and all the details of how he cleaned house. Chronicles records it this way, very specifically, and God records it this way, obviously, in Chronicles for reasons. He records it this way because here you got Josiah. He's doing good and he's cleaning house prior to the recording of the finding of the book. Then he finds the book and then he reads it in the ears of all the people, and he gets that pronunciation unto him of what, because his heart was tender and all the good things that would happen to him. But look at verse 33. Remember that whole chapter in 2 Kings of what he did and the details of what he did? Look here in 2 Kings. That whole chapter is summed up in one verse, verse 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What word do you see over and over? All. God is a God of all or nothing, I'm telling you. You're either serving the Lord completely or you're serving the mother. Period. Because it's when people start to compromise and to say, well, I'll just do a little here and a little there, you wind up serving the mother. Okay? That's why you read verse 33 again. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and made all. He made them. It's good to be the king. And made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Four times in one verse we see it's all. That's great. That's great. Can't wait to meet Josiah. He's one of the guys I have a lot of questions for. Okay. And I hope some, you know, it would be neat if, like, we can look back, you know, in the ages to come, in the fullness of times, you know, when all these different ages are ahead after the new heaven and the new earth get here. You kind of wonder, don't you? Like, are we going to be able to look back in these days and the Lord's going to play it on the big screen for us and we all can watch? I'm just talking there. All right, 2 Chronicles 36 now. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now, this is what is so sad. This is how Israel winds up. Verse 14. This is the results of following the mother. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. Notice the flip here. It was either all for the Lord or it's all for Satan. Period. Again, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Look at this. Till there was no remedy. Do you understand? that you can get so involved in going opposite of what God tells you to do that there can be no remedy. No remedy. Don't. What do you think this is in here for? Well, it was just about what happened to Israel. We're going to see. This is the deception today. There's people out there today that are involved so much in the mother system today, in their homes and their work and everywhere they go, it's just run by the mother because they can't see because they're blind willingly. They're so involved. There's no remedy for them, but here's the catch. They're not going to be carried off into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar and destroyed. The catch is they're going to be without remedy, and yet they think they're okay. You see what I'm talking about? What's worse? All right, Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. There really wasn't nothing in Ezra pertaining to what we're doing. I mean, I can show things indirectly, but Nehemiah 13, look at verse 23. Nehemiah 13, look at verse 23. In those days, I mean, after this great revival, true revival, in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Plucked off their hair. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. The wisest man who ever lived when it comes to earthly things, and even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Not good women, outlandish women. Okay? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There's many good women, both single and married, in the Lord's service. They're not outlandish. But let me tell you what, an outlandish woman will cause you to fall. If you're a man, listen to me every single time. Verse 27, shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil? Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? You see, Nehemiah understood in the restoration that he did in building up of the wall and everything. He understood why it had gotten to that point. For so many years, Jerusalem's wall and everything broken down and the land desolate. So, he was infuriated so much so he's plucking off their hair. You know, if I believed and thought that I could take a 2x4 and beat someone to get saved, like if I beat them bad enough they'd get saved, I'd do it. But it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. All right, now we move to the book of Psalms. There's not a lot in the book of Psalms. Okay, isn't it funny? There's really nothing in Job, okay, specific for our series here of what we're doing. Okay, 28 minutes, half an hour. Remember now, we're at the half hour mark almost. If this thing cuts off at 53 minutes or 50 minutes, I don't know, I'm just going to keep talking, try to get up to the hour. All right, Psalm 16. Let's go to Psalm 16. Remember, there's some great things in Job, but not specific to what we're doing in this series. We're gathering evidence helping to identify the mother. And it's an important turning point here. You have to understand what all that Old Testament framework was for. Listen to me. If you can have a nation that I witnessed God Almighty parting the Red Sea for them and all of the other miracles he did for them visually and gave them his laws and gave great kings at times. David was, Solomon was for the most part. And they had some others. And all of the deliverance and salvation, and they still turn and fall and worship other gods because that's what the mother did. Don't think that if you turn from the words of God that you're any better. I'm telling you, this book has to be so saturated in your mind, you have to function according to the words of this book at all times in your life. Okay, Psalm 16, look at verse 4. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips, their drink offerings of blood. Do you know that in the Roman Catholic Mass, through the doctrine of transubstantiation, you look it up, they say, when that heathen Baal satanic priest lifts up that cup, that golden cup, which is the symbol of the mother in Revelation, and he says, like, this is the blood of Christ, they say it really turns into the blood of Christ, literally. Well, it's a drink offering of blood, you know? And look at that. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. You want to mess up your life? You go live after the gods of this world, okay? Psalm 18, look at verse 31. Psalm 18:31. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? We've already looked at that. God is the rock. And when Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew, Christ says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church. The rock that Christ was building the church is himself, and the confession Peter made with his mouth regarding Christ, that he is the Christ. That's the rock, Corinthians says. He's the chief cornerstone. The Roman Catholic Church tells you that Peter was the rock, and they built the church upon Peter as the first pope. That he was the rock. No, Peter's not the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is. Okay, Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Look at verse 20. Psalm 44, verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search us out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart? Huh? A strange God. You notice, if we've forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, you have to read your Bible every day. You'll start to forget things. That's what the flesh does. The world is constantly pumping into you. And then you take a little time and read the Bible. And then you go back into the world and you're always being pumped into. Whew. Okay, cleave to this book. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're cruising along here now. We had to lay all that foundational verses of all of the stuff we've read up to this point. It's going to start picking up steam. Psalm 78, look at verse 58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him, God, to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. Greatly abhorred. Abhorred is the highest form of hatred. Israel. Psalm 81, look at verse 9. Psalm 81, 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. That's some good advice. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. Psalm 96. Now remember, now if you find some verses that I've missed, I don't think I have. You know, when I read through my Bible, I don't know what time I logged all these in. I don't know, it was about the 80th or 90th time. I said, you know what? I'm going to write down every verse that has to do with the mother. And I read it through one time and just jotted down during my reading. Psalm 96, verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, I know there is no other gods, but people make them out to be. And God is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. You got that? Look at this. But the Lord made the heavens. You remember that he is a living God. And as Hebrews says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He made the heavens. All the gods of the nations are idols. That was my goofy dog making it sound, by the way. Psalm 97, verse 7. I mean, I'm just letting you know because you can't see. What's that sound?
I think it might be me.
So, I think it might be Pam, she said. It's not her. Psalm 97, 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Did y'all just see? What does the first word mean? Confounded. What is that? That means thoroughly confused, thoroughly deceived, all right? Look at this. If someone is serving graven images, that verse tells me that every single Roman Catholic, and not just them, Protestants and all that, we're going to see they have them too when we get to the New Testament. But right here, let's just Let's just narrow that down. The billion Roman Catholics there are that the mother runs, they are, everyone walking into Mass is confounded. Everyone walking in is deceived, confused. They're confounded. Unbelievable. I mean, are y'all getting this? Psalm 106, look at verse 28. Psalm 106, look at verse 28. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. You know, when I was a Roman Catholic, we used to have all these goofy feast days. And they were always for some saint. And you're always praying for somebody in purgatory. And it was always lighting candles in church for dead people who died in the family. And I can remember one time my grandmother gave me $5. She had already been to Mass. And I was going, and she said, here, light a candle for Grandpa, give the $5. And I can remember going in there, and then I forgot, and I was walking home, and I said, oh, well, I forgot. And I can't remember the rest of the story, but how important was it? I mean, his soul supposedly is burning in purgatory, okay, and that the $5 and lighting a candle would help get him out sooner, and I forgot. You know, they ate the sacrifices of the dead. It's sick. Same chapter, look, verse 34. Same chapter, verse 34. They did not destroy the nations. Look, they're writing about Israel did not destroy them, remember, concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Now, if you were to look at the mother's deception here. If you were to ask them when they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters, are you doing this unto devils? No, we're doing it unto gods. The god, Ashtaroth, Baal, Malcolm, Milcom, Eliphel. No. God says they were sacrificing their sons and their daughters. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Look at the deception there. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. They invented it. Now you got to ask yourself, well, why didn't God stop it? And all you goofy thinking Calvinist who says, oh, God does everything and you can't do nothing and we're just robots and nobody has free will. Why didn't God intercede then when all these children were being put to death? Why did he not bring up a case? You see, because God values free will so much, he does not interfere. He gave us his words. Obey him or don't obey him. Pick. God will be freely obeyed. You choose. You see, when people like Calvinists tell you that God is responsible, they want to get out of responsibility and accountability. They don't believe in free will because it puts them on the spot. And they don't want to serve God on the basis of grace on the spot. No, they don't. They feel so special. Okay. Look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Look at verse 3, Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. You see that? They're nothing. They that make them. The people who make these idols are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. What a slap in the face to 1 billion people on the planet, huh? Out there worshiping their statues and then going to these Roman Catholic churches. Listen, I keep saying Roman Catholic because that's what's happening today. That's easy to see. Don't think you're off the hook. Because when we get to the New Testament, you're going to see that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry, Paul's epistles say. Covetousness is idolatry. Do you get that? And we're going to look at the things that you desire. Covet means to desire. And if you're disobeying Philippians, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Your affections, we're going to see that you're coveting and you are doing worse than they did. We'll see. Isaiah chapter 2. Now we move to the great book of Isaiah. Okay, and again, there's nothing in the books that I saw. So you thought this would take forever, right? Well, I thought it would too. At the rate I was going on YouTube. All right, and by the way, there is no series of like this recorded everywhere. I taught this one time, like I said. One time I taught it. That was it. And this is the first time I'm ever putting it out there in the public. That was taught in person to a group of about 50 men. That was it. This entire series. Now it's going out there. So, hey, if you don't think it's valuable, it's every verse that has to do with identifying the mother. I think it is. So does God Almighty think it is. What time we got here? 40 minutes. All right, we got 10 minutes to go. Remember, at any moment, I think we could just cut the camera off. I don't know. It could just die. All right, Isaiah chapter 2. And don't worry, if it just cuts off, I'm going to pick up the next day where I left off. And by the way, that reminds me, Monday through Friday, these oracles are going to be done. So this is being done Thursday night, late. It's going to be uploaded all night while I'm sleeping because it still takes forever. So it'll be posted Friday. You will not have a new posting Saturday or Sunday. I have to take off the weekends. I've increased it during the week and the ministry between answering emails and all the wonderful things that I get to do now and the radio shows and everything else and the fellowship we have on Sunday on Skype and teaching the men. There's just no time. Okay? There is no more time. So I need a break to do the other things I need to do around here. And I still work, you know, a full-time job, more than a full-time job. So, but they will be every Monday, Lord willing, you get up through Friday, you'll have a new oracle. And that's plenty. That's 300 minutes a week. That's a lot. Okay, so catch up and stay caught up in school, plus the radio shows, all right? And plus YouTube will be starting soon with these, with school. Okay, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, look at verse 8. Watch this. Talking about Israel. Their land also is full of idols. Now this is just before. Remember we read in Kings and Chronicles? When Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed it. This is just before Nebuchadnezzar is coming. And God's going to give you great details through Isaiah the prophet what Israel's problem was. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. That which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbled himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. He's so great. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone. Oh, I love that so much. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And when he comes back, the Lord alone, his name is called the Word of God. All right, the scriptures alone, Bible school. See, when you exalt the scriptures, you're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty because he's made himself equal to his word. Follow that in all authority. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. Remember Bashan? Remember the bulls of Bashan? In Psalm 22, with torturing the Lord Jesus Christ? And upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. Oh, we're going to see. When you start idolizing pictures, okay? Oh, pictures. Yeah, that's an image. That's what you take on your cell phone, pictures. Look, there's nothing wrong with enjoying some things, 1 Timothy says. It becomes different when you start coveting them. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. That is future from now even. What idols? Yes, he's talking about Roman Catholicism. Yes, I got it, and all their idols. It is more than that. All the people today involved in Vatican City's system of the whole world, they idolize their cars. They buff their cars up. They can't get a ding on them. They idolize people. They idolize sports figures. They idolize sports teams. They idolize everything. Everything. Wait till we get there. Don't get me started then. Idols, because that's future from now. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Oh, your little lucky rabbit's foots aren't helping you too much in that day, huh? To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the top of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. He's a king when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Wait, that day's coming. You see, stuff like that, we're at the 45-minute mark, could lose you at any moment. What's so great about that is that so many people love what's being done here. So many people hate it. There's more that hate what we're doing than love what we're doing. It's always been that way. Most people on the planet will hate truth. Very few will love it. But it's the ones who love it. If just one person gets this. You know, I remember telling my wife when we decided to do this online ministry stuff. You know, because I teach in person. But when we decided to do it, it's going to cost money. It's going to do things like that. Well, we said if one soul gets it, it's worth it. And praise the Lord, far more than one. Okay, Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, let's look at verse 10. Isaiah 10:10. As my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? That's a good question the Lord's asking there. Yeah, he's going to destroy them. Isaiah 14. Now look at this. Isaiah 14. Now, watch this. Isaiah 14, look at verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Oh, Babylon? Yeah, that was a present king of Babylon. Remember Babylon all the way back in Genesis? Well, this king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. You see, that was then. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. And the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Who's coming? The wicked adversary, it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Talking about the Antichrist and everything. Look at this. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee and the worms cover thee. The worms are the souls of people who are burning in the fire. Where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Then you find Satan's plan of evil right here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Here is where Satan got his evil plan to begin with. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. See, so when you think of that Babylon tower going up, remember ascending into heaven and make themselves a name, the pride of life back there in Genesis? That was Satan's original plan right here. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, like when God met with all of them in Job. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. What time we got here? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan wanted to possess heaven and earth. Remember, God tricked Satan at Calvary. There's a great YouTube video in our archives here. In this YouTube. Look at it. It's a great study. So that was Satan's plan. He wanted to be like the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Look at God's answer, verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know why it's called sides? Because there's no bottom. That's why it's a bottomless pit. If I put you in the heart of the earth, there is no bottom. You've just got sides. You're in the heart. You're in the middle. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying. Now look at this. Look at this insight into this. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? that made the world as a wilderness. Look at what the mother on this planet has done to this world. When Satan gets thrown down in there and he's thrown into the bottomless, they're going to look at him. And his Antichrist. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? This mother's plan is responsible for the destruction of every city. That opened not the house of his prisoners, all the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, thou go down, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant, name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction. I remember a preacher said, what's besom mean? And he tried to go to the Hebrew word. It means a broom. What else do you sweep with? And I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him under foot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Look at this prophecy that was given during the time of Isaiah, that in many ways was fulfilled earthly before the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have, you know, Nebuchadnezzar coming and some things, but it's going to be fulfilled again. There's so much there. Notice how Satan's plan of evil in Isaiah 14 is right here talking about Babylon. You wonder why it's called Mystery Babylon in the end. Now, here, listen. We're at the 52-minute mark. And it shut off yesterday at 53 minutes and 26 seconds, I think. So, it can shut off anytime. But I'm going to keep going, because I want to get up to the hour. See how long I can get this thing. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 14 there. That is really a phenomenal passage. It really is. Isaiah 17 now. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 17. Look at verse 7. Isaiah 17. Look at verse 7. At that day we just talked about when the Lord comes back, shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down, because he is the brightness of his image and the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory, the book says. That's who they're going to look at. Verse 8, and he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. What a day is coming where Babylon is going to be destroyed. Let's see if the camera cuts off here. What a weird way to teach. Is the camera going to cut off? Isaiah chapter 19, look at verse 1. Isaiah 19, look at verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians. Look at that. And they shall fight everyone against his brother and everyone against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And how do you think that's going to work out for them? Well, we've made it past the mark of yesterday. Who knows how long we can continue. Isaiah chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 21, 6. Now watch this. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion! My lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. That sounds exactly like the book of the Revelation, chapter 18. That's amazing to me. Now, okay, we're at the 54-minute mark. I'm going to try and end with these two passages, okay? Isaiah chapter 24, look at verse 1. Talk about the curse. Watch this. This is phenomenal. Talk about the curse. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Watch it, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. You wonder why this planet is so screwed up? Don't blame God. The people on the earth have transgressed his laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. What is that everlasting covenant that they broke between God and the earth? What does God write in all of men's hearts? That he is the God, Romans 1 says, of heaven and earth. That they'll face him in judgment. He has eternal power over them. And God had authority over them. That's in all men. They've broken that. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. What time is it? Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. This world is under a curse for ignoring the God of heaven and earth and following the mother's program. A curse. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh, the mirth of tabrets ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoice endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. City of confusion. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation. And the gate is smitten with destruction. Compare that to chapter 25. Look at verse 1. Quickly. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap. Of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible one shall be brought low. Now watch this. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering. Watch it. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. People have they got like this veil cast over all them, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Every single nation has a veil. It's hiding things. You can't see through a veil. You're under a spell. The nations are mad. He will swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people, that's Israel, shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now, praise the Lord. We're almost done. It's going to be an hour's long. So, hey, the video lesson. There is a curse on this earth, and God Almighty says there is a covering cast over all people, and there's a veil spread over all the nations, and it's because Satan has done it
through that mother. The nations are mad. And we're just starting to see why. And when you get to the New Testament, you will freak out. Well, you shouldn't believe it.